Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Hour 2 of Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030. I'm here with Jay Dobbins, formerly of the U of A, wide receiver, early 80s, made some fantastic catches in huge games. Hey, now on the line, I have Doug Pfaff, a kicker from U of A from the late 80s, who made some great kicks, as I remember them, because I covered the team. Doug, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, fine, thank you. Thanks for joining me on the show. We're talking ASU. I'm sure Jay might have a question for you or two. The game that I remember, and this is not ASU related, but we'll get to that in a point, was the Oklahoma game. Jay, you remember the Oklahoma game?
Of course.
A huge game in town here.
Oh, my goodness. Playing Oklahoma. Arizona play Oklahoma with the legendary national reputation they had, and then how our kids played, and you know, and then obviously, you know, Doug's boot. Legendary.
Did you know, at what point did you know, Doug, that you were going to be a factor? Because it was like 3-3. It was no score in that game.
Yeah, I mean, that game, we had played him the year before, and we played him in Norman, and actually, even though the score was 28-10, we really outplayed him. We just gave up a couple big plays, and that's why the game kind of got out of hand. But we were going in to actually tie the game late in the fourth quarter, and they got to pick six. But that next year when we played them down in Tucson, we had such a great defense, and they were they stifled OU's offense that night. And we could tell by halftime that there wasn't going to be a lot of points scored. So I was just thankful that our offense had a great final drive in the fourth quarter, and gave us a chance to go in there and win the game with a field goal. And I was just happy everybody executed, and we came out on top.
Dick told me at the time, I can remember talking about you guys visualizing the win and you visualizing the kick to win it. True?
Absolutely. I was pretty fortunate. I had a great upbringing, Stephen Jay. I was a Laker ball boy during the heyday of Showtime. And so I was able to kind of see the mental preparation when I was in high school, and that really helped me in college. And I used to do a unique thing every Friday night where I'd go into the empty stadium and walk through about 20 different spots on the field in the dark, and I'd have my holder and my snapper there. We wouldn't have a football, but we would go out there and just visualize nothing but perfection the night before. And I think it definitely holds true if you see it, if you believe it, it can happen. And I think that's where we got a lot of our success.
Yeah, as an alum, you're watching that game. What are you thinking, Jay?
I was so proud of our guys as a fan, and having zero ability to control anything. And you're a fan, and you're wringing your hands, and you're pulling for them, and you're frustrated with mistakes, and you're going crazy with successes.
Right. That's probably how every game is for you, Doug, and for Jay now, especially for Doug, because your son is on the team, correct?
He is. He's a safety, so he's a redshirt freshman. He's been on the team this is his second season. So, like Jay said, it's a different feeling when you're in the stands and you obviously are rooting for the Cats, but you can't do anything. And so you do. You feel the pain when a play's not going well, and you get excited when they do something great. But at the end of the day, as athletes, you love to be able to go in there and contribute. And as a parent or as a fan, now just have to take a back seat and just hope those young men do a great job.
It's funny. Last year, the team went through a lot of troubles on the special teams, particularly with field goal making and punting and all that. What goes through your mind when teams have that trouble? Even in the NFL now, you see it all the time because of the extra distance. But you don't notice you guys until you notice you guys. How is that?
You know, and that's the thing. The snappers, the holders, and even the kickers and the punters, for the most part, nobody knows the name until you either screw up or you get the fortunate chance of doing something, you know, that might impact the final outcome. But, you kind of know that, hey, that's your role with the team. Everybody has a job to do, and you hopefully get mentally prepared to just do your part so you can help the team win.
So you were on the team. I talked to Ronnie Veal yesterday. Ronnie Veal is one of those guys, and you know him just as well. He doesn't say a whole lot, I got an email. He talked about one of the ASU games where he went in gimpy. His ankles were not available, yet he still pulled off the win. Tell me about your time with during that time here and maybe some of the ASU games that were, you know, you were victorious.
You know, I was fortunate the first year we played was 87, or the first year that I played was 87, and I was a redshirt that year, but we were up in Sun Devil Stadium. They had a 24-21 lead with about 18 seconds left. They had an all-pack tempo. All he had to do was just catch the snap and kick it because we had no timeouts, and they were on about the 35-yard line. So pretty much all they had to do was punt, and the game was over. And thankfully, the ball on the snap went right through his hands. He muffed it, couldn't get a punt off, recovered it right there. We were able to take a game-time field goal, keep that time, the streak going to really seven games. And then, you know, the 2 years I played, we also won. You know, luckily, neither game was that close. We kind of won convincingly, but it's great times. I mean, the state gets behind those games. As Jay knows, he did such a great job in the games that he played. I've seen the highlights today. It's an unbelievable catches, but, you know, the fans are, when they're in your home stadium, they're pulling for you. You know, they want to win so they can rush the stadium. And then when you play at their stadium, they're yelling every name in the book at you. And it's great when you can turn around and just want to point to the scoreboard and say, yeah, we got you again.
So I know you've moved from Dallas to Phoenix. Is that correct? You're now in Phoenix?
I did. I just moved to the city where ASU is located.
I asked Heath this yesterday because he's been in Phoenix for a while and he's one of those diehard Arizona fans, you know, live and die with. How is it going to be for you now that you're in that area and you're a former U of A guy with a kid down here playing?
Hey, I rep the U of A all the time. I go into all kinds of businesses, always wearing Arizona gear. And every time I see somebody, I'll take their down. And it's funny, there's a restaurant up here that they serve what they call Sun Devil fries. And I went in there, I said, let me get an order of Wildcat fries. And the cashier was looking at me, I said, yeah, Wildcat fries. She's like, I don't think we have those. I said, you need to have them because, you know, your menu's got something missing. So, I love it. I love the banter. And, you know, I know I'm in enemy territory, but I'll represent the Cats all the time.
Yeah, and you can always say, I never lost to the guys.
That is true. That is true. Like Jay, I was right in the middle of a beautiful 9-year streak, and hopefully we can get year one started again Saturday when we beat those guys.
Doug, I love the fact that your son is down here and that your legacy is continued and that your name is still on the back of an Arizona jersey years later. And, you know, he will see what we see in that brotherhood of Arizona football players. It extends beyond eras and beyond, you know, your actual team, and just really, really pulling for him and his contribution and his participation in the program here.
Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it. And you know, again, it's I know your son played college football, and it is a great feeling to watch your son suit up and play the game that we all love, and you know, experience hopefully many more of those memories and that you and I even got the chance to experience. But it's great. You know, he has no kicking skills. That gene did not pass to him, but he's definitely a very athletic young man, and hopefully by the time he graduates at University of Arizona, he'll be able to put his own chapter in the book
I would think that your experience with your son out there, you probably have more stress watching him line up for a play than you did lining up that kick against Oklahoma.
You know, it's different feelings. You're right. Of course, you always want your kid to do well, because if he doesn't, people around you say things and it's hard to bite your tongue. That's the stressful part of it. Being able to just hopefully watch him, you know, perform at a high level. But, you know, they're both different. You know, I miss the days, as I'm sure you do, Jay, where you can go out there and, and have the crowd cheer for your school. It's definitely been, you know, very, very impacting for both me and my wife to be able to come back to U of A. Like Steve said, you know, we lived in Dallas for almost 20 years, and so now we've pretty much seen every home game this year, and look forward to these Saturdays, and I'll be down there again Saturday rooting on the Cap.
Well, we'll probably see you on Saturday. I know you guys get together, all the ex guys get together and reminisce about the good old days. We'll probably see you. Thanks for joining me, Doug, and be good. We'll see you this weekend.
Thanks, Steve and Jay. Hey, bear down. Go Cats.
Thanks a bunch. We'll go for a break here and talk to you on the other side.
From the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
At Sun Street Mortgage, we want to say a special thank you to our employees, our clients, and all of our referral partners who have made Sun Street what it is today. To show and express our thanks, Sun Street continues to give back to the local Tucson community by sponsoring several local charities and various athletic teams to support our children and young adults, which is Sun Street's philanthropic mission. Take the street that leads you home, Sun Street Mortgage.
AZBK number 0907366, NMLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
There is only one Arizona football home game left, and it's the one that matters most. Arizona and ASU will renew their rivalry and play for the Territorial Cup at Arizona Stadium on Saturday, November 24th. Get your tickets now and wear red for the Senior Day Red Out. That's Arizona versus ASU, Saturday, November 24th. Get tickets today at ArizonaWildcats.com/FB or call 621-CATS.
Hi, I'm Josh Ewing.
And I'm Matt Ewing.
We're the owners of Gibson's Office Solutions,
your number one source for all things office.
As business owners, we know buying local will continue to help us build a strong local economy and give our families a brighter tomorrow.
Let Gibson's Office Solutions supply you with everything for your office. With national buying power, we can provide you with competitive pricing and a local service you can depend on.
Check us out at gibsonsaz.com or give us a call at 622-6738.
Think local and buy local at Gibson's Office Solutions.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time. U of A tailgating. I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental, just west of Alvernon on Speedway, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 12/3/18. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball with Jay Dobbins here. Thanks for joining us, Doug Pfaff out of Phoenix. He'll probably see, he's coming to the game on Saturday, so we'll probably see him there. Did we talk about 84 yet?
Just a little bit.
You talk about 84, another win there. Close game?
It was, what was that? It was like a 10-point win, I believe, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, with all these games, and we talk about the games and the impact and what they mean, like, I remember I recall my teammates so much more than I do the actual plays of the game. That's like ultimately what's important to me is my teammates and my coaches.
Mm-hmm. So you finished in 85.
My last year was 84.
84, so that was the final year, so you did all that. So you leave, and you're just kind of hoping, just continue the streak, baby, just continue the streak.
Yeah, and, you know, you show up for games, and it's like, you know, you're actually putting pressure on the guys, like saying, hey, man, don't you let your class be the one to blow this.
Right. There is some pressure for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the more you win and the more success you have, the pressure is greater and greater on mm-hmm. the kids and teams to come.
Mm-hmm. So did we talked about you guys knowing some people on the other side. Who were the guys while you played that you said, God, this guy's really good?
Well, you know, Mark Fulcher was a quarterback at Arizona in mm-hmm. the early 80s, and he was actually the starting quarterback at Arizona before Tom Tunnicliffe came. Tom came and kind of stole Mark's job. Mm-hmm. David Fulcher, his younger brother, was a safety, an All-America safety at ASU, consensus All-America safety. And he was, you know, he was bigger and faster and stronger than everybody. And, you know, like you had to keep an eye on him. He was a headhunter.
Yeah.
He was in that Kenny Easley, Don Rogers era of safeties where they were looking to send you to the hospital.
To hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were kind of like, guy, who hit you the hardest?
Oh, man. I took a lick from a guy at Stanford named Vaughn Williams. I got knocked out in the Coliseum by Jack Del Rio.
That's understandable.
Yeah. You know, to the point where, you know, I tell the story, I thought that Jack had blinded me because I was face down in the dirt and my eyes were open and it was pure blackness. And then, you know, I start to see the light. People say, go to the light. That's where it's safe, you know. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to the light. Well, the light was my ear hole because he had turned my helmet sideways. and then actually lined up in USC's huddle waiting for the play to be called. And Jack came up and, like, gave me a, you know, a pat on the bottom and was like, hey, man, dude, your huddle's over there. But it was like, you know what, my game, and we talked about this. I was never, a super athletic guy. I think why I found success and probably why, the town treated me, so well is that I just tried to be tough. I just tried to play reckless. I played a very common man type of football.
It's continued. Arizona has that guy on the team now, and the wide receiver who's the possession receiver.
Yeah, the Ellison kid.
He's not tough. Like, I don't. That's not fair to say. The dude is pretty good. I think he's an unsung guy because he had a lot of catches last year under duress. He's doing the same this year.
You got to have that dirty work guy.
You got to
have
that dirty
guy,
work guy
that's willing to catch the ball, you know, on third down and take a lick. So somebody else can catch the touchdown and
the
you know
Dexter's
and wink
world.
At the cheerleader.
Yeah, the
you know you
got
to have the guy who's blowing snot bubbles while the other guy.
I'm sure Ellison's not doing that badly with the cheerleaders, but he is that guy. I mean, he all he does is catch passes. What do they say?
Well, you know, he's a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah.
He's that guy that when you're in trouble, he's going to find a spot and get the ball anywhere around him. If that ball's like near his cylinder, he'll mm-hmm. find a way to catch it.
And Poindexter is that guy now.
Yeah.
Because he's catching touchdowns for Khalil.
Yeah, and if, you know, the rest of us could only be 6'5 and 220 pounds and jump like a volleyball player, you know, then,
right.
you know,
right.
that would be nice. But
I'm sure, what are you, 6'2"?
I'm 6'2". Yeah, I'm 6'2".
6'2"? Did you wish, oh, God, maybe, you know.
You know, like, I weighed 175 pounds in college.
Oh, you were
you know?
Snip of grass.
Oh, yeah. Like, I matured late. You know, I weigh 225 now. Over the course of 30-plus years, I've eaten my way into a three-point stance. You know?
Yeah, but at the time, you were 175, what, 6'2", and you were a wisp?
Yeah, and I played in the slot, too. I played like kind of in replacement of our tight end. And so, but you know what? I got knocked around and beat up every game, catching balls over the middle, and I absolutely loved it. I craved it because I knew that was my role. Right. I knew my role was not to run down the sidelines. I knew I wasn't going to catch a lot of touchdowns. I wasn't going to make a lot of glory plays. But I knew my role, and I knew how to help my team, and I loved it.
Yeah, you were one of those guys, and we can see, you know, from the sideline, you get taking hits like crazy, and you're thinking, what the heck am I doing here?
You know, when I was growing up, my dad, who was my hero and my mentor and my coach, he never cared about performance. He cared about toughness. He was a blue-collar guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, the worst thing anybody can ever say about you as an athlete isn't a swear word. It's S-O-F-T. Don't ever let anybody say you're soft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's probably what got to you at Arkansas in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't say soft, but maybe that's how you took it.
Well, he, you know what, if he didn't say it, he conveyed it.
Yeah. Yeah,
And you know what, especially when you're a kid, man, you know, you're sensitive.
Right.
A lot of people say a lot of things to me now that just I laugh about and it, you know, it rolls off. But when you're a kid, man, your ego is still very fragile.
Did you ever talk to Holtz after?
You know what, I saw him at the national championship game when Oregon played Auburn. Mm-hmm. Up in Phoenix.
A couple years ago.
And he was, you know, he was part of the ESPN package. And he came off the podium from a segment and instantly knew me and instantly said hello and how you doing. And, you know, I followed like what you've done, you know, after you, you know, got out of school and was every bit as charming as he was when I was 17 years old and he was sitting in my living room.
Right. Because he is. He's exactly that charming and, you know, that's how kids gravitate.
Yeah, Coach Holtz is one of those guys. He could convince you to do anything he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. All the good coaches can.
Yes, sir.
All the good coaches can. Did you ever regret, and I know the answer to this, but it's a dumb question. So you go to Arkansas, come here, Stanford, chance, other schools, chance. And I'm not talking athletically. I'm talking Stanford.
Yeah, you know, I had an offer at Stanford. John Elway was there. Mm-hmm. Could have played with John Elway for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I had an offer from BYU. Jim McMahon was there.
Mm-hmm.
I had an offer on the table from Notre Dame, which I don't know that there was any necessarily legendary Notre Dame players in that area, but the chance to say that you played at Notre Dame is huge. But you know what? Things work out for all of us the way they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not change anything. I would not speculate. I was honored to wear an Arizona uniform and play before the people in this town.
As you look back, and I'm sure you've done it a few times, you've probably written in your book a time or two, the memories of UA, some of the best times of your life?
Absolutely. And again, back to the people that I was in school with, my teammates and my coaches. And those are the things that extend well beyond time. You know, I can remember a few scores and I can remember a few games, but sure. I can remember all my teammates and all my coaches.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll get back to that on the other side when we talk about, you know, some of the good dudes that you played with, that you're probably still close to, and maybe you partied with back in the day and now just older and reminisce about a lot of the fun times. I think we're ready to go to break here any second now, if I can get Bob's attention. We'll go to break here, maybe, possibly. Oh, and tickets. Yes, we have tickets. We still have, I think, three. We've gotten given a couple away already, so that's great. If you still want to go to the game on Saturday, please call 790-2040. We want to get rid of these tickets for you guys. Enjoy them. We're going to break. Yeah, thanks.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
I was searching for a way to stop using drugs. I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. I went to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. Supported by recovering addicts, I realized that I was not alone. I heard them talk about feelings that I was afraid to talk about, and recovery from drug addiction. Something I was afraid to dream about. It is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help. 881-8381. That's 881-8381.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for a conversation with Coach Jeff Skurin. Coach Skurin is one of the winningest high school football coaches in the nation. Plus, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving Eve message for you. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. It's Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Anywhere in the world live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030, KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back here to Eye on the Ball. Can you guess who that was?
I caught it late. I wasn't paying attention.
Bob?
It's one of my favorite bands I went to see as a kid, Kansas.
Kansas, Carry On My Wayward Son.
A couple of your listeners are wondering, since they just tuned in, who you're talking to and his significance, because you guys have been chatting, you know, over the fence here for a while.
It gets like this after we talk for a while. But it's Jay Dobbins, former U of A football player, wide receiver from the early 80s, undefeated two against ASU. There's a lot of you guys out there who have yet to lose or never to lose and will never lose to.
That's a huge source of pride for me.
I'm sure it is.
Having never played in a game against ASU that I lost.
Right. You're like Matt Muehlbach. The reason for him, he never lost as a player in McHale Center. And he played.
Yeah.
He's not like Josh. Josh is like 42-0 as a player. But Muehlbach never lost in McHale.
Beautiful.
Isn't it? As a student or an athlete or whatever, I mean, that's a lot. That says a lot.
Yeah, and Matty's such a good dude, too. He's just one of those really good guys that we talked about.
One of my all-time favorite guys because for that exact reason. Not an arrogant guy, a simple guy, smart as a whip guy, funny, and a good athlete. Yeah, and an attorney. I mean, God, I hate people like that.
He got to go to the front of the line for everything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just slouch, and he's this guy. How does that happen? I don't know. Hey, we talked about your time at U of A, but how did U of A set you up in terms of growing up?
Well, you know what I think, and I tell kids this too, is that the lessons that we learn on the sports field, especially in team sports, they translate into every other aspect of your life. They translate into relationships and into families and into business. Whether you're running a business or you're working for someone who's running their business, they translate into sports teams.
Yeah. And jobs. They have that commercial, if you want to employ a former athlete, you can hire somebody who cares and is dedicated to his job.
Yeah, and I think that if you, especially locally, if you run a business, I think there's some prestige in having an ex-Arizona athlete as part of your company. And because our town, with the way we're structured here, those U of A athletes, they are our celebrities.
Right. And they're identifiable. you know, if they play basketball or softball. Or
whatever. I think it's so important, like for what you do and for what our media does, is to let us get to know these players as individuals. And just right. beyond a number on a jersey or a performance, we yeah. want to know them. We want to see their face. We want to hear their story and what they think and how they feel and what they've overcome and where they're from.
Sure. It's funny, we talked about this off the air, but and I've said this a number of times on this show, the access to us is limited. I'm talking about us, the media. Football is very limited. In fact, they're probably going to start or they're finishing their interviews now for this weekend's games with the players. Basketball, it's very limited. It's very controlled. But it's part of growing up. You know, you go to college to learn how to do your laundry, how to treat people nicely. You got to go to classes on time, get out, do well, and kind of grow up. Sometimes that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I was blessed to end up playing here for the university in my hometown. So, like, you know what? All those things went through, but, you know, Mom still brought me chocolate chip cookies. So, like, I cheated the system a little bit.
You did a little, yes. Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. You could do that. It's funny because I talked to Juwan McClellan here on the show, and he talked about that, where he didn't really mean it to be mean, but, you know, in sports, you guys are coddled. You guys got the best classes. You guys are taken care of because of the practice and all that. Best foods on road trips and things like that. And then he kind of felt that maybe the program, not the program, but the school, then you're thrown to the wolves because you've been treated great for 4 or 5 years, and now the real world hits, and it's not like that.
Well, and some people struggle with that when you hit yes. the real life, and the limelight isn't on you, and you know what? You're not going to the front of the line for everything.
Yes, yes.
And it's, you know, now you have to go out there and survive.
Right, right. How is it, and I've done this story before, after the applause? For some people, it's tough.
Yeah, you know what? When you're 20, 21 years old, and you have, you know, 50, 60,000 people with their eyes on you, cheering you, and ultimately you don't know any different. And then, you know, the day comes where you have a boss yelling at you because you didn't perform well on some spreadsheet that he needs. Right. Man, the transition's tough. It really is.
Yeah, the real life hits, and then you're – well, the thing is, with athletes, they understand that, you know my kids who know I'm not that tough, but I'm a little tough. It's just doing the right thing. Just doing the right thing and kind of making the difference between the wrong and the right thing.
I think that if you go through life humbly and graciously and display gratitude and are thankful for the opportunities you got, it goes a long way. Yeah. All you have to do as a college athlete is to look at all your high school teammates who would chop an arm off to take one play, to catch one pass in Arizona Stadium, and right. then you got to do it. If you can look at it from that perspective, with appreciation and gratitude,
yeah.
Then it puts it in balance.
Right, right. So who were the athletes that you went to school with at U of A that you admired in other sports? Because athletes like athletes who can, it's like band leaders, or, you know, singers want to be athletes and athletes want to be singers and stuff like that. Who did you admire?
Well, when I was in school, Lute had shown up at the
83,
program.
83, yeah. yeah.
And he was still, I mean, he had his reputation from Iowa, but we still didn't really know exactly who he was.
Here was this regal, dapper guy yeah. coming into the scene.
You know, and I used to go do ball drills in McHale Stadium with the lights off. And I remember Lute standing on the second level with his arms folded, looking at me like, who is this knucklehead on my basketball court? And he even said... he told me, I caught him in the hallway, and he said, like, you know what? He goes, I let you go out there and use my basketball court because I like the way you play.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you were kind of one of his guys. Yeah, you played tough and overachieved.
But, you know, like, talking about tough and being an overachiever is my favorite of all the star basketball players that have come through Arizona, dozens and dozens and dozens. I've always loved Pete Williams uh-huh. for those reasons.
He, what's not to like? A good dude, smart guy, speaks well. He checks all the boxes.
Pete is just, he was, you know, we were peers. We were the same age. We were in school at the same time. And it was a little bit odd to admire and like almost like have like a hero feeling about someone who was the same age as you. But he just played so relentlessly, and he was so unselfish and such a team guy. And he just played reckless, and I just always admired Pete, still do admire Pete.
Yeah, yeah. The guy we were talking about, John Edgar, was his sidekick.
Sure.
Still has him as a sidekick. Now they're neighbors.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and Eddie Smith was on that team, Eddie played, you know, the same way. Lute was getting a lot of mileage out of those guys.
You cut the front end of the best times of their lives in 83, 84, because that's when they started to get really good.
Yeah. Yeah, Brock Brunkhorst was on that team, you know, and I look at myself and myself as an athlete. If I translated that athlete in today's world, no Division I team would look at me.
Really? I don't know about that. Who would you compare yourself to?
Oh, that's at in school now.
Yeah. We probably don't even know who that is, do we?
No, I think all those kids are faster and stronger
than I was. I'll tell you right now. He plays with the Patriots. Who's the dude that is always catching passes? The smaller guy, but
The Edelman?
Yeah. Edelman. Those type of guys were. How's this guy? Or the guy from Dallas, the number 11.
Yeah. Beasley.
Just a dude. He says, how does this guy make it? But he's catching every pass.
Yeah, except those guys are like super quick and super fast, and I would look so sluggish next to those guys. You know, like I am very honest about myself. I basically succeeded through an excessive amount of repetition.
But you know what? That's what makes people good. You can have the horrible shot, but if you continue to use the horrible Jim Furyk, Steve Kerr's shot. Looks blockable, but look what they've done.
There were a lot of guys, even on my own team, let alone the guys I played against, that were bigger, faster, stronger than me. You know, like my vertical jump, I was like an ATM machine. You could barely slide a credit card underneath it, right? But as far as like running pass routes and catching footballs, I was tough to cover because I repped it so many times. And I wasn't satisfied with practice makes perfect. I was a perfect practice makes perfect. I tried to do everything perfectly every day to get myself ready for Saturdays.
There's much to be said about that, but there's also, and you coach it, or you're trying to coach it, smarts.
Sure.
If you don't have it, you don't have it. But you could see the kids who are instinctual, know angles, know how to get where they need to go without being taught it, if that makes any sense.
Football and basketball are geometry problems.
Soccer, same
thing. Sure.
Way.
Mm-hmm. You know, coaching, I'll tell you what I find a little bit shocking is that growing up without all the electronics and not all the distractions, we were out there playing ball in the street, in the park, inventing games, you know, with rolled up duct tape. All we needed was a piece of duct tape, roll it up, and we'd invent a game. And then you, like today, the sports IQ of athletes, I don't think is nearly as good as it was when I was a kid.
And you know what? That's undersold, because that needs to happen. It's funny. It's called savvy. It's called street smarts. It's called something that you have to have.
Athletes today want to run plays the way they're drawn on a chalkboard, and that's not how you run.
Or in a video game.
You have to understand the nuance of how to set a guy up to get him going one direction when you're going to go the other. And some people have it instinctually. But it's sports IQ.
1 out of 10, how many do instinctually have that? Two?
A couple.
Three?
Yeah, I was going to say a couple.
Those are special players. I'm sure the guys that you have now playing have some of that, because they're probably a little born with it.
Yeah, you know, a couple of these kids at Sal Point just physically can do things that the rest of us can't. You know, they can run and jump and stick their foot in the ground and change directions and accelerate just like so much better than the common kid out there.
But do they also have that instincts?
They do. Yeah. They do. And
that's
I think
deadly.
Which sets them apart.
Deadly combination.
When you know, when you're running behind a blocker and you know how to set that defender up to give your blocker the block you need to make your cut, you can't coach that.
Right. No, it's funny. I thought Luke Walton does that. It's like shooting pool. You're not shooting for the shot you have. You're shooting for the shot you want to get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's go to break real quick to have our last segment here with Jay Dobbins talking about all things football, all things life, all things.
Well, I'm 30, take it and see. I've got a fever of a have a car, truck, boat, or RV parked in your driveway that you no longer need? By donating your vehicle to Goodwill, it'll do good for the thousands of people in southern Arizona that take part in Goodwill's jobs, training, and services. Your tax-deductible donation will help them reach their career and educational goals. Donate your vehicle today. Call 520-623-5879 or visit goodwillsouthernaz.org. With Goodwill, it's so easy to do good.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 12/3/18. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Your source for prep sports in Arizona. Beyond the box score. Behind the headlines. Arizona Sports Preps 365 on ArizonaSports.com.
This is Arizona Sports Preps 365, covering everything under the Arizona high school sun. As we bounce around the state, we do it every single week.
Arizona Sports Prep 365, Saturday nights, 7 to 9 on KVOI, The Voice.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Jay, we're back to Eye on the Ball. Jay, so when we get to my age, do you forget stuff?
You know what? That was Phil Collins.
Yeah, what?
Studio.
Studio.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So you forget stuff?
All the time.
See, now, what were we talking before the break? We're talking about life and times of, oh, the teams. Go ahead, Bob.
You guys were talking about Max, and I remember his last name was Zendejas.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, well, that's a first. I feel younger already by
Money
remembering.
Money Max.
because you were part of that 85.
Oh, I remember 80. That guy had a leg.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can remember Max ever missing a kick or a clutch kick until, and gosh darn it, it's so unfair that he was dealt this hand. He missed a kick in his last game, in a bowl game, I believe. Until then, that guy had made every money
isn't
kick.
Isn't it funny
put
that's
down
what
in front
you
of
get
him.
To remember? I mean, you missed that one block, and that's what you're remembered for after doing thousands of blocks.
Steve Kerr in the free throw, yeah.
His 2-for-13 against Oklahoma, yeah. But come on, see, who remembers that? No one. Steve Kerr is Steve Kerr now. He can walk on water in Tucson.
Yeah, that guy. If he wanted to run for mayor.
Anything.
He would probably governor for that matter.
Right. Now of California, or at least of something of California and Oakland. Yeah, a lot of these guys. You went to school with these guys. Fantastic guys.
I did. Steve was younger than me, but I was in school when his father was killed, mm-hmm. and was at the game when he played and started banging down those shots. And We probably didn't know it at that moment, but we should have. There's something different about this guy. Yeah. He's special.
You know who did? Pete Williams. Pete Williams, because when I was writing, I think my second book, he talked about that. Steve Kerr, unrecruited, till Arizona showed up and saw him play some Saturday morning. I think it was Kiki Vandeweghe. Luke went to go see Kiki Vandeweghe. and Steve was playing too, and this kid, and Luke turns to Bobby and says, I want that kid, and he says, you're joking. No, I'm not joking, I want that kid, and they signed Steve. The only other one other school that was chasing him, I think, I don't want to, it's in my book, and I forget stuff, like I say, a small school, he decided to come to Arizona, and the rest is history. And guys like that, you went to school with a lot of cool dudes. We talked about Pete Williams, Steve Kerr, Sean Elliott.
Sure. Well, we talked about how this town embraces the blue collar athlete.
Yeah.
We're a blue collar town.
Right.
And we love seeing incredible athleticism because as fans, it's fun to watch. But as an audience, as a guy sitting there, the Steve Kerrs of the world, you can look at yourself and say, like, man, if I had the chance,
right,
that's how I would play.
Right. Who was that guy growing up? We might repeat ourselves here, but in town that had that chance but didn't, either academically or whatever. I don't want you to embarrass anybody, but you know what I'm saying? Where this guy was a stud and he just couldn't make it.
Well, you got to go way back now, but when I was a kid, Jackie Wallace was that,
I think,
freak,
I've heard that name. Yeah.
Freak talent who just had a very tragic personal life. But I think the guys that played with him and watching him as a kid was different, you know, was amazing.
Yeah. Fat Lever was around your wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, Fat Lever was at Pueblo when I was in school with the Mosley brothers. And you know, I played in high school against Eddie Vosburgh when he was at Sal Point.
Yeah.
Eddie the Arm.
Yeah.
You know?
Eddie the Arm.
Yeah.
I'm going to have him on. We've talked that we've communicated about being on the show, too.
You know, he's a Tucson treasure.
Eddie's
a Tucson treasure.
What, he was a Little League champ and all that, went to the World Series, and then played in the big World Series.
He was on that team I was telling you about the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
If not the only guy to win a Little League World Series, a College World Series, and a Big League World Series.
Right, right.
And he lives right here in our town.
Right,
man.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of those stories behind the scenes that you wouldn't really know in Tucson. Really? Yeah, Tucson.
Yeah.
How was it growing up here athletically? And I still think that it's a lot of athletes in town are kind of being misidentified in terms of being not being good enough.
It was wonderful. I have such great memories. Mm-hmm. I can't, even if I try to, I cannot think of a bad memory or a bad story growing up in this town, playing sports, going to school, going to high school. It's like, you know, I see kids that sometimes struggle at that age.
Yep.
And it breaks my heart because my time at Saguaro High School, man, not one bad memory. It's just my classmates and my teammates and then on.
And your parents, I assume that's a big factor. In fact, I spoke to a junior high last year at the end of the year, and he asked me, what's the biggest issue? Some 12-year-old asked me, what's the biggest issue you find out with athletes? What makes them so special? Says, if they have pretty good parents, they're pretty good people.
My folks were grinders. They're just, you know, they're a blue collar, which is probably like how I was raised and the way I played. You know, my dad was a carpenter for 50 years and pounded nails, and my mom scrubbed people's toilets that didn't want to scrub their own toilet for a living. That's, you know, we were raised like, if you want something, go get it, go earn it, work for it. No one's going to hand it to you.
Yeah, and they don't. And they don't.
No.
No. So good childhood, and you always wanted to play ball probably.
Yeah, I was. I always loved sports. I was, you know, I was growing up. Man, I got teased a lot. I was kind of the weirdo. You know, I was kind of a sissy growing up.
What do you mean? Explain.
As a kid, I was pretty soft. I think my dad had to encourage and teach toughness and how important toughness was. Ultimately, when Javi Morales named me the number one badass in Arizona football, I was super proud of that. It was meaningless as far as performance. I was proud of it because my dad was proud of it.
And what did he say?
He was, you know, that was who he wanted to raise, was a tough man. And I think that, like, Javi in his piece, like, kind of acknowledged that.
Yeah.
And I guess I love that piece because it really says nothing about performance or athletic accomplishment. It's just, you know, who went out there and played reckless and tough. And the list on that that he put together is There are some star players on there. There are guys who took, put athletic performance together with toughness.
Yeah.
You know, when I was trying to make my way in the NFL, I realized the hard way. It takes a lot more than being tough. You have to be talented too.
Oh, no question. No question. So, when you finished your career here, the ASU game was the last game?
It was.
What did you think? What did you think? It's over.
Well, you know what? I thought I was going to keep playing.
I think every player does.
And I had dreams of it, and I had some nice recognition in college. I went to the 1984 NFL Combine, and I got paired up with a couple guys I'd never heard of before. A guy from Kutztown State, another guy from a little school in Mississippi. And I thought, I'm going to show these guys how we do it in the most dynamic offensive conference in the country. I succeeded and I thrived here.
Yeah.
10 minutes into the drills, I realized that I wasn't going to be a pro football player. I couldn't do what these guys that I was competing against were doing, and I'd never heard of them. The guy from Kutztown State was Andre Reed, who played 15 years with the Bills and is in the Hall of Fame. And the guy from the little school in Mississippi went to Mississippi Valley State. It was Jerry Rice. So I wasn't necessarily judging myself against the fairest competition, sure. But those guys were absolute freak shows.
Right.
I knew I was going to have to find another way to make a living because I couldn't do what they could do.
Right. Well, you turned out. So that's when your life kind of changed?
Yeah, and not by choice, by design. I was at the combine and I found Al Davis. Al Davis was there scouting. And I was a Raiders fan. I was a Fred Biletnikoff fan growing up.
Yeah. Okay.
And I went up to Al Davis and said, Coach, how am I doing? And he looked down his score sheet, Dobbins. Oh, here you are. He goes, you're the fastest slow guy I've seen all day. And I was like, man, that's not good. That's not a compliment.
And then what? So then you're kind of saying, okay, I got to refocus.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I knew I had to find another way to make a living. And at the time, Miami Vice, the television show, was super popular.
You're talking about 84, 85, yeah?
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, man, I want to be Sonny Crockett. I want to drive a Lamborghini around South Beach, you know? And that didn't turn out really the way that Hollywood had glamorized it for me either. But things work out exactly the way they're supposed to. Not always the way we want them to, but how they're supposed to.
That's true. It's very true. And you've had a great career. Great is the right word, you think?
Interesting, maybe?
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Before, we only had like a minute left. What did you want to do when you grew up? And don't pick athlete because that's unobvious.
You know what I wanted? I don't know what I wanted to have a job that when the alarm clock went off in the morning and I put my feet on the ground, I was excited
to go to work.
Yeah. I wanted something that I was enthusiastic and passionate about, and I wanted to make a contribution to my community, and I wanted to do things for other people. And I found that, and I tried to live that every day.
Welcome home, isn't it?
Beautiful, man. I love you, Tucson.
Yeah, welcome home, and you got to do it, and you still do.
Yes, thank you, and I love this town, and thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I love these types of things because we can reminisce and BS about a lot of different things. Thanks for joining me, Jay.
Of course.
I appreciate it. We'll do this again.
Please.
Probably in the new year. Thanks for joining us on Tuesday. We're going to be here again tomorrow. I think we still have some tickets left. No, we're gone. Okay, great. Well, enjoy the game, guys, whoever got them, and we'll see you, hear you tomorrow. Thanks.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. Apustos Media.